We greet you again for this session in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the authority of His Word. And I trust in the humility of Christ. I don't know anything that will draw us closer to His heart or be a greater invitation to our Lord to pour grace upon us than humility. Because God gives, He resists the proud. Even the spiritual proud. Pride is pride. He resists the proud, but He pours grace on the humble. I'm not sure exactly how to proceed. Our brother has laid before us, I believe he said he was giving us one side of the coin. Do we understand that? And I believe what that means is, I believe this is very consistent, that there's another side to the coin. But what he presented to us is one side of the coin. And we have to have it. You know, both sides of the coin make up the coin. And I just trust that we can have in our hearts, in all humility, that scriptural balance that was laid before us this morning and that we're going to get throughout these meetings. That's the burden that's on our heart. We need balance, brothers and sisters. It's like rules. You know, many of us come from, I've said before, there were just too many rules. But you know, if we just throw all the rules away and react to rules, that's not a good balance either. Being in the Amish church can't save you. But I'll tell you, getting out of the Amish church can't save you either. Being in the charity church can't save you. Getting out of the charity church can't save you. There's only one thing that saves you. And so I'm going to say this morning that the best balance that we will ever have is Jesus Christ in every way. Both sides of the coin. Unload the whole truck. I believe, and here's what I mean. May God give us the grace. I believe that He can do that. I want to first bear testimony to what our brother shared this morning. I remember it was a few years back and Brother Denny was down there speaking in Georgia. I believe it was at a Toccoa somewhere. It was a big Bible campus. I think it was a Baptist church. And it was a huge campus. They had motels on campus for their meetings and their gatherings and huge cafeterias and huge sanctuaries and all kinds of ministries. And we were there at this meeting and in the meals, we could go to the cafeteria and go through the line there. And then you just choose the table to sit down at. And there was this one brother there. I had noticed him. They actually had him for a speaker for a couple things. He wasn't a real gifted speaker. But he seemed to have a very gentle spirit. But he was kind of the man that I think our brother described that he put himself under. It was just not one of the men that just grabbed your attention. And I had just watched this man. And I kind of felt sorry for him because he acted like he was kind of backward. And I was going through the line and I got my tray of food. And I saw this man sitting by himself over at a table. And there were several tables of different brothers visiting. And I just thought in my heart, God just kind of led me to that brother. I just thought I'll sit down here and see if I can befriend him and maybe, you know, bring him some friendship. And I sat down there and I began visiting with him. And just in the course of the conversation, I asked him, I said, so what do you do for a living? And he said, I'm a pastor. And I'm the kind of person that I don't hide my emotions too well. He kind of saw the shock on my face and he said, I said, really? I said, what church do you pastor? He said, this one. He saw the look on my face that time and he just said to me, he said, God gave me one gift. He said, it's to see talent and send it on its way. I mean, there was a mobilization of that group, and that stuck in my mind, and may we never forget those things. There is gifts, there is grace. I believe sometimes we wonder, where are the gifts? And sometimes I think it's because they kind of get snuffed out because we all have to fit into the same mold sometimes, and we need to reach out and create open doors for those gifts. I believe that is one of the callings of leadership to do that. I was just thinking, I believe Romans tells us, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? But I'm going to bring us to our session here today and say, how shall they be sent except they be discipled? You know, our brother wasn't telling us this morning that everybody can just do what they want to do and they can just take their gifts and go with it. There needs to be some discipleship. There needs to be some direction. I believe that fits the pattern of Jesus Christ. He discipled those 12 men. They weren't ready to go just because they left their nets and followed Him. They needed some direction. And I believe that that fits the pattern. And so we're here and we want to encourage us in those things. May God give us much grace this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that You would be with us this morning, that these meetings would give us the balance of the Lord Jesus Christ, as that He drove the money changers out of the temple, and yet the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself unto Him that judgeth righteously. O God, give us grace today on Your Word. May we rightly divide the Word of truth today, that we might be drawn closer to You in Your kingdom. Father, it's Your kingdom. We pray so often, Thy kingdom come. And the only way it'll ever happen is if My kingdom go. Give us grace, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Lord appeared to Amos one time in the Old Testament, in Amos chapter 7, and you don't need to turn there. Thank you, brother. But the way that the Lord appeared to Amos was Amos saw the Lord standing on a wall made with a plumb line. With a plumb line in His hand. Now, I want to tell you something this morning, that a wall that is made by a plumb line is a straight wall. It's a good wall. It's a, as it were, a building fitly framed together. And the Lord was standing on a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in His hand. And He said, Amos, what do you see? And Amos said, well, I see a plumb line. And the Lord said to Amos, He said, Amos, I'm going to set a plumb line in the midst of My people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. And I believe what God was saying there to Amos is that I'm not going to put up with their idolatry anymore. I'm not going to pass by those things anymore. I'm going to put a plumb line. I'm going to show them where the line is. That's what God told Amos. There, may we give God liberty today to stand on a wall that is made by a plumb line and put a plumb line in the midst of His people. I believe we need to give God that liberty. He is the head. We are the body. We're members one of another. Let's have a single eye and a single gaze upon Him. I have a message that I would like to share today on the broad road and the narrow road as Jesus presented them in the Sermon on the Mount. And we need the Holy Spirit to do this. You know, I was just sitting there, I was looking up here at this, and I was just thinking, you know, I was just thinking of that song. The cross of the Lord is over here, and the way of the cross leads home. There's no other road but this. As the Word of God and the song would teach us, And I just had to remember as I looked at that picture. When I lived in California, learned something about the homing pigeon. And I'm going to illustrate what I think the Holy Spirit can do for us. I like this story. There's something in a homing pigeon that you can't explain too well. There were some people that always, somehow that little bird always knows the way home. It just has it in there. There were some people out in California, and they were going to do an experiment with the homing pigeon. And they took several of them, and they put them in a cage. And they made the cage so it just turned round and round. And this was in Modesto, California, where I was raised. And they took this cage of pigeons turning round and round, and they put it in the trunk of their car, and they shut the lid. There in the darkness, turning round and round, they drove 75 miles to Sacramento. And when they got to Sacramento, they opened the trunk, and they opened the cage, and they let him go. And the birds beat him home. I say this morning, whatever it is that God put in those little birds, may He put in our hearts also. That no matter what happens, no matter how contrary the winds may blow, no matter how many other birds are in the air or how many directions they're going, by the Holy Ghost within us, we would know the way home. The way of the cross leads home. Jesus Christ. So we need that direction by the Holy Spirit this morning. I have said that I believe that understanding these two roads is at least part of the foundation for the burden that we have had and the urgency for discipleship. Really, if everyone is going to heaven anyway, the burden for discipleship goes down some. But if there are actions and attitudes in our everyday life beyond what we believe, beyond our theology, though it may be right, if there are actions and attitudes in our everyday life that affect our destination, then the burden for discipleship comes right back up again. And I believe that's what Jesus was teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. I believe that's the burden that Jesus had when He raised the standard in the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, did He ever raise the standard? And I just want to challenge us. We want to focus on Christ this week. Have we raised the standard? Have we been diligent like the early apostles in the early church to keep it there? Or are we satisfied to see it come back down a ways so it's a little more within our reach? I believe that's a burden that Jesus had upon His heart. I'm going to try not to go over time today. I must say that God has been revisiting some on my understanding of these two roads. And I want to share with you this morning what I believe that God has been laying on my heart. And I'll admit, as I look out over this crowd, there's a trembling some in my heart to share what I believe that God has laid upon my heart. Because I know there's a difference in our backgrounds. There's a difference in our personality. There's a difference in how we interpret Scripture. And we may not all be on the same place on our journey with God. And you know what? We don't all have to be at the same place on our journey with God. We can be in different places, but we need to be on the same road. And if we're on the same road, then we're traveling together and we have the same destination and there's fellowship there. We might be at different places on the same road, but I don't think God likes it. When people begin to justify certain attitudes they have and certain things that they are doing and things that they allow, they begin to justify that by simply saying, well, I'm at a different place than you are with God. Well, that can be nothing but a wall to protect them to do their own thing. You know, sometimes we make a pretty big thing out of that. We hear it said quite often, well, that's not where I'm at with God. Gonna throw in a little nugget here. You'll never be discipled if you insist on being where you're at. Discipleship demands change. Think about the followers, the 12 disciples of Christ. They left their nets and followed Him, and from there on, their life changed in every detail. I mean, God didn't take away their personality. He didn't take away that color that He placed within them, but He gave it direction. Someone who's being conformed into the image of Christ will never make a big thing of where they come from. I believe there should be something a whole lot bigger to us than where we're at with God and where I come from and my background. And I just trust this morning that God will give us the grace to take our eyes off of all of that and focus instead on where we should be. You know, many of us are not where we should be. I think the Scriptures would bear that out. I think Hebrews says that when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's where you should be. And the Word of God acknowledged, you're not there yet. But may we take our eyes off of our background and all of those excuses that we have that give us the right to stay there and not change. It happens all the time. Well, this morning I doubt if I will shock any of you when I describe the narrow way. The narrow road. But I may shock some of you when I describe the broad road. But it's our prayer this morning that it won't have anything to do with me, but rather that we could look into the Word, that we could look to the pattern of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the words written in red. Some of the Scriptures there in the Sermon in the Mount, Sermon on the Mount. And let God speak to us. And whatever it is that God put in those little pigeons, He would put in our hearts also. That we would have that Holy Ghost discernment. I think what I have here, I'll just kind of point out just to give you the idea of what I think God has been laying on my heart. Over here, rather obviously, we have the straight gate and the narrow way that leads to heaven. It's the way of the cross. The way of cross leads home. This is the path that Jesus trod. This is the pattern that we want to look at. Over here, we have the broad road. No restrictions. It's where there's evil. Every evil work, adultery, covetousness, all of those things are over here on this road. No question. They're not going to heaven. But man, in his desire to go to heaven, most people want to go to heaven, but not all wills are broken. So out of their desire to go to heaven, yet out of the unbrokenness of their will and seeking their own way, what man has done is he has devised another road here, right here, where he tries to work out his way to get the best of both of these and bring them down to this road. That's reality, brothers and sisters. I believe that it is. What this road is it's a religious road. It's a road of compromise. They talk a lot like this one. They have good theology. This road even has a burden for this road. This road here, I just want us to think about this a little bit. That middle road claims the promises of the narrow way, but they receive influence from this other road. It happens all the time. And I believe Jesus had a burden. for the ones, I should have this with me here. Jesus had a burden for the people that were on this road. And what he was trying to teach in the Sermon on the Mount is that there's no difference between this road and this road. It's all the same road. And yet man has done this. And I'm going to put it back up there just to make a point for today as we share here some. But brothers and sisters, really, what Jesus was teaching, he wasn't talking about this road over here. That's not the road he was talking about. This road is over here. We know it's here. It's a bad road. We know it's not good. Jesus didn't even address that road in the Sermon on the Mount. We want to look at that. This is the road. These are the two roads that Jesus was talking about, I believe. And I want to just present this to us. There's no one here has all the wisdom and all the knowledge, but I'm just going to plead with you to be Bereans. Let's look at the Scriptures and see if there's not, if this is not so. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. I would like to actually turn to Matthew chapter 7. Verses 13 and 14. I want to read these two verses. It says here, and I appreciated our brother's comments on the straight gate and the wide gate. But it says here, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." I believe that all that Jesus was teaching in the Sermon on the Mount is diagrammed in these two roads. There was a certain standard here that they thought was right. And it was this one. Jesus says, "You've heard this is right." But all he did really, he spoke of the kingdom as our brother taught us yesterday. That's true. But in the Sermon on the Mount, he spoke of hell. That's the reference that he used. And Jesus said, "You've heard it this way, but that will take you to hell." We'll look at that. You've got to raise the standard over to here. And did Jesus ever raise the standard? It's just amazing to me how much Jesus raised the standard in the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus said to enter in at the straight gate, I want us to look at that. It says to enter in, and that entering in there is into the kingdom of God. That's what that is. He's talking about how people try to enter into the kingdom of God. And there are many, many people who want to enter through the straight gate and then walk the broad road. And it's not possible. You can't do that. Because as is the gate, so also is the way. You can't separate the two, as we just read. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. But wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And you can't separate the two. It's on some things that we would almost consider minor offenses in our church today. Like angry with your brother. Like lustful thoughts, even when you don't do it. Like fasting in public. Like getting even. Even doing good things, like casting out demons in the name of the Lord Jesus. Those people, he said, with the wrong motive, are on this road. And they are going to hell. That's what Jesus said. He said, "Depart from me. This is those who have cast out devils and done many wonderful works in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." He said to them, "Depart from me. I don't know who you are." And the condemnation is to hell. I mean, the Pharisees are on this road. And Jesus said of the Pharisees, he said, "They have good theology. Let's not rest in good theology." Jesus said of the Pharisees, they have do what they say. They said it right. They said it just like it's said over here. But they didn't do it. They mixed some of this in, like Demas. This is the road that Demas wanted to be on. Paul said, no, I'm staying on this one. And Demas, I don't think he wanted it over here. He just wanted to mix some of it in over here. I want to read chapter 5, verse 20. Jesus said here that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's some pretty strong words there, brothers and sisters. One of them is no case. There's not going to be one exception. There's not going to be room for any compromise on that road. If that's the road that we were on, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the Pharisees, you know, Jesus said of them that you can pass land and sea to make one proselyte, and you make them, I think he said, twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Whoa, you know what that means? That means the Pharisees are going to hell. That's what that means. You know, we're a little slow to say it that strong, aren't we? We hold back a little. I mean, some of these people, you know, I mean, they have a good heart. We hear all kinds of statements. But brothers and sisters, it's not wrong to examine our hearts. We're instructed in Scripture to examine yourselves, to see whether you be in the faith. And if we're on this road, how in the world are we going to... It's almost like what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I mean, maybe it's true here too. And I want to suggest that people separate these two all the time. They have a testimony, but they walk the broad road. And I'm a little nervous today, feeling this burden. It's not easy to unload a burden. I just want to lay it before us. I'm going to ask us to be Bereans. Jesus put condemnation on this road. Jesus didn't even address this road. That's not who he was talking to. Let's look at several examples in the Sermon on the Mount. I want to say this. Well, I've always thought in the past that the narrow way was those who sought after God, those who were born again, those who were filled with the Spirit, those who had crucified the flesh and were walking with God. And I believe that's right. But in the past, I'd always thought of the broad road as the way of this world, those who reject God, no profession of God at all, seeking their own way, lost in sin, living after the flesh. Not good. But really, brothers and sisters, that doesn't fit the definition that Jesus gave of the broad road. Number one, it doesn't fit the setting of the people he was talking to. He wasn't talking to atheists and agnostics. He was talking to religious people who had a profession. He was talking to God's chosen people. It doesn't fit the kind of people he was trying to reach. You know, the religious people who profess to know God, and it doesn't fit the warnings and the judgments that Jesus placed upon the people. He wasn't judging the people of the world over here who deny God and who reject God. That's not where the condemnation came. He was judging the professors of Christ and the believers. And I have a burden that we wouldn't just automatically exclude us from the influence of these roads. I don't think anybody here is on this road. I trust not. I mean, I don't know. But I'm not sure about this one. This is not a good road. It's the same road. The destination is the same. We have to look at what God, Jesus, was trying to teach us in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus placed serious judgment for the disciple, our children, and our churches to be on this road. If people come to our church and they're on this road and they come to our church and they want to be on this road, they need discipleship. They need it greatly. If there's people on this road and they come into our fellowship and they don't want to get off of this road, they just kind of like some of this fellowship, hey, that isn't going to come out right. Somehow we're going to have to rise up and say, that's not going to come out right. We need to sit down. We need to talk about these things. We're not trying to, you know, condemn people. That's not the burden we have on our heart. But it is to disciple them to get on this road over here. I believe that Jesus had a burden when He gave this sermon, that there were many people who thought they had entered into the kingdom of God on that middle road. And they were on their way to heaven. And Jesus said, in no case, you're just going to get there on that road. That road ends in destruction. Jesus went through the whole Sermon on the Mount pleading with people to come up to His standard. He had a new standard. Verse 21 and 22, let's just read those. We read verse 20. 21 says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rakeh, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell," fire. Now, some of these things we tend to make room for sometimes in our church. It's kind of understandable. They weren't treated right. But if we're not treated right, that's so what? What does that have to do with it? You know, Paul cried out that he could have fellowship, as our brother so clearly brought out the other yesterday, that we could have fellowship with his sufferings. I tell you, if all we do is suffer because of some mistakes we made, that's not fellowship with his sufferings, because he didn't make any mistakes. When we have fellowship with his sufferings, it's when we don't make a mistake and we still suffer for it and receive it graciously. Then we have fellowship with his sufferings. And you know, there's many people who say, I'd never kill my brother. There's many people who are angry with their brother, but they would never kill him. Really, there are people like that. And you know what? That will work on this road. We don't want to be in that category. If you read in 1 John there, it says, if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. That's God's opinion. You know, that anger, there's no room. That's what Jesus is teaching. There is no room for anger or unforgiveness or bitterness on this road. There just isn't any room for it. It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be discipled. Over here, you don't need to worry about it because they have a good heart and a testimony. But brothers and sisters, come on. There's no room for it over here. Verse 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. If you've got something against your brother, and you bring a sacrifice to God, that'll work on this road. It doesn't need to be dealt with. But you can't do that over here. There's no room for that to be done. And if you do that, you're in danger of hellfire, I believe, because it's connected to the danger of hellfire by the therefore at the first of verse 23. Many times in our mind, we create expanded liberty, a little bit of room in the kingdom of God for unforgiveness. It's so understandable. A little bit of room for bitterness. It's been called the justifiable sin. But it's not. There is no room, in no case. I heard Brother Emmanuel preach a sermon one time on rebellion, and he said the devil got kicked out of heaven because of rebellion. Do you think you're going to get in with it? There's no room for any of it. Thank you for that, brother. This is Jesus' opinion. He's the one setting the standard here. If we look at verse 27 through 30, it says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." That's a big verse. I don't know if we meditate on that verse enough. You know, if you meditate enough on that verse, you're going to be praying that you're going to learn, you're going to be discipled how to bring your eyes into check. You're going to have to learn how to deal with your eyes when you go to Walmart. You're going to be concerned about what your children are looking at when you're standing in line at Walmart. You can't just be standing there thinking about how much this stuff costs you. You have to be looking at where the eyes of your children are directed. "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out." I mean, this is how serious we should take this thing. Come on. I mean, this is Jesus teaching us, "and cast it from thee." That's part of your body. I mean, this is a... I don't know what to do with all of this, but it's written in red here. Let's go on. "And cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." You see, that Jesus didn't forget about hell. He was talking about it here. And he's talking about not adultery now, just thoughts. It's better to pluck your eye out and cast it from you. I can't say that I recommend that for anybody. I want to understand the heart of the Lord Jesus here. I'd like to keep our eyes, but I'd like to bring them into check. I believe it's a call to discipleship. I think it's a call to the straight and narrow way. We want to be on that road. "And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. It is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Jesus just keeps talking about hell. He keeps talking about the destination of this road. He's not talking about this road. We know where these people are going. There's no profession whatever of God. But these people have it. Sometimes these two roads seem pretty similar, don't they? I mean, they both have jobs, they both have families, they both have emotions and trials and tears, they both have churches, I'll guarantee you. And so sometimes it just begins to look like, well, it's just a little difference of opinion here. But no, it's not a difference of opinion, it's a difference of destination. All the difference for all eternity right here. But this one can look pretty good. I'm trying to, I don't know if we're just discipling us or what we're doing here, but brothers and sisters, this is the standard that Jesus laid before us. It fits the pattern. That's what we're instructed to do, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I know that looks big for us. That's why whatever it is that God put in those little pigeons, He would put in our hearts also. There's no other way. Not you, not me, no one can do that. We look to Him. Jesus raised the standard. Have we kept it there? Have we had a diligence in our heart to keep it there? I hope I'm not being offensive to anyone. I've wept over this thing. You know, I like friends. I like people. I love to be in the midst of friends and in the midst of people. And I don't feel like I'm in my comfort zone right now, but I'm going to stand here because I believe that God has laid this on my heart. Look at chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Brothers and sisters, one of the most sincere prayers of my heart is that when I see God, when I see the Lord Jesus, I can hear Him say, well done, thou good, faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. These people don't hear it. And they cast out devils. They did many wonderful works. And many people did it. Many shall say in that day. Notice what Jesus says in chapter 7 here, verse 13 and 14. When He speaks about these two gates and ways. The very next verse. I mean, it's like Jesus, you can just see His burden coming out here. It's like Brother John was saying, this is like a letter from Jesus. His burden is coming out here. Enter in at the straight gate. Stay off the broad way. Very next verse, beware of false prophets that are going to comfort you in being on that broad way. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You're going to know them by their fruits. But it's just interesting to me that the very next verse, that tells me that that was on Jesus' heart as He was teaching the importance of raising the standard off of this road up to this one, bringing into captivity every thought. You know, really, many times it's so close. I believe there's prayer and fasting on this road. I believe there's closet prayer on this road. There's intercession on this road, but down here, there's prayer and fasting down here too. But everybody knows it. That's what He was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. If you do that, and everybody knows it, you just had your reward. You're not getting any from me. You had it all down there. Everybody said, oh, look at how he can pray and fast. You had your reward. And Jesus said, that's all you're going to get. And you have a destination. Do it in secret. And your Father, which seeth in secret, will reward you openly. Am I stretching this? These things are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're a burden upon our heart. Paul said, there are those who preach another Jesus. And you know what he said they are? What are they? There's those who preach another Jesus. That's not these people. They are the enemies. Thank you, brother. They're the enemies of the cross of Christ. Enemies! They're on this road. False apostles, false prophets. They're not on this road. They're on this one. This is what Jesus was talking about, these two roads, right here. I want to challenge you. I want to tell you some things that I believe are on these roads. I'm going to talk now about this road right here. I'll tell you some things that I think are on that road. Popularity. Popularity, by definition, is when it's very meaningful to you that others know what you're doing. That you get some comments coming your way that don't fit the pattern of the other road. But that'll work. That'll work on the broad road. Popular fads and fashions. Right here it is. They're here. It's receiving influence from this road over here. You didn't get that influence from up here. You're a disciple up here. You're studying the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when those fads and fashions start coming in sometimes, brothers, I can't believe how unalarmed we are when they start showing up in our children.
I mean, come on, it's the moose hair. You know, the covering starts shrinking. All kinds of things start happening. It shows up in dress. It shows up in hairdos. It shows up in fancy whiskers. It shows up in the cool scene. You know, the cool phrases that everybody starts saying because everybody else is saying them. It comes up in nicknames. I tell you, I think we need to raise our discernment level. Where did they get that idea? Whose voice are they hearing? They didn't get that from this. They got that from over here. And isn't that where we need to disciple them? Son, my daughter, where did you hear that? Well, I don't want you to do that. And many, 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 many times, it's not that bad of a thing. I was driving the other day down the road and one of those stores that sells eyeglasses had a little sign out front. It said, Sarah Palin frames on sale. What's wrong with Sarah Palin frames? Probably nothing. I mean, that takes some Holy Ghost discernment because there's nothing wrong with Sarah Palin frames. But I'm not going to let my daughter have Sarah Palin frames because there is a connection. That's right. Whose voice are you hearing? Whatever God put in that little pigeon, may He put in our hearts also and give us some discernment. I'm going to tell you, when you buy those Sarah Palin frames for your daughter because there's nothing wrong with them, it doesn't end there. You won't believe where those things are going to lead her. There's lots of entertainment. Oh, lots of entertainment on this road. And it's for Christ. Christian videos. Puppet shows in the park. Right down here. I don't read about any puppet shows in the park in the book of Acts. That's not the way they reached out, brothers. We want our lives and our churches to fit the pattern. They had anointed preaching. They had hot anointed preaching by the Holy Ghost. They weren't doing puppet shows in the park. And, you know, even the whole world of Hollywood and movies and videos, the whole world of that, you know what it's called? Most unusual name, Broadway. It's like, come on, that's a dead giveaway. And I know what Broadway is. It's just a road in New York. It's a road in New York that's lined with theaters on each side all the way down. That's all it is. But it kind of got its name that's the whole world of acting. That's the whole world of drama. It's Broadway. You know, somebody enters that profession, they wonder if they'll make it on Broadway. That's just the term that they use. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this morning, videos will not lead you to God. They will lead you to Hollywood. They will not encourage you on your journey to God. They will not encourage your children on their journey to God. They will encourage them on their journey to Hollywood. That's where they come from and that's where they will take them. Now they will start off with some really good videos. I'll give a little of my testimony here. We come out of a group where, you know, you just couldn't do those kind of things. And it looked like a pretty good family evening to me. So we got some videos. Put a little insert in our computer so we could play them. And we had some of the neatest family evenings we've ever had. I'm going to be honest with you. They were good videos. I'll just tell you, there's probably about 20 good videos in the world. But those 20 are good. I'm going to be honest. This is my heart coming out here now. But when you watch 15 of those 20, and you start heading for the 20, and you're getting toward the end, what has happened is your children have developed an appetite for videos. And their appetite for videos will not be satisfied with those 20 good ones any more than he that seeketh silver will be satisfied with silver. It's just going to keep going. It's just going to draw them right on into wherever the enemy wants to lead them. The enemies of the cross of Christ. That's pretty harsh. But it's discipleship. It's reality.
You know, there's a lot of divorce and remarriage on this road. There's a lot of marriage problems, I'll just say it that way, on this road. And I want to make a point here. I think there's marriage problems on this road. I do. I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to put everybody that has marriage problems over here. That's not fair. If you got marriage problems, let me tell you the difference between these two roads. It'll work over here. It's not as big a burden over here. But over here, it needs to be dealt with. That's the burden that we have. We want to disciple. When those things come, you know, all kinds of unforgiveness and bitterness on this road. It's full of it. Well, this road has some too. But over here, it's okay. But over here, it's not. We need to disciple. And that's the cry of our heart. That's the burden that we have. When those things show up, we want liberty to disciple it. We can't just accept them and say, well, hey, that's just the way they are. That's the way it is. No, that's not the way it is. That's what Jesus was telling us. If that's the way it is, then you're down here. But if we can deal with it, praise God, then we're over here. That's the burden that we have. Can God give... This isn't the road of perfection where nobody has any sins anymore. This is the road of open confession where we can deal with who we are really. I think that's why a lot of us have come to these kind of fellowships is because we were over here and we wanted reality. Isn't it? Maybe I'll give my testimony. When I came to North Carolina, I was a hurting man. I was needing a father figure. That's the way I had it in my mind. I don't know if that's scriptural, but that's what I thought I needed. And Brother Manny reached out. And I know it was God's everlasting arms, but he kind of used Manny's in there somewhere. I don't figure all that out. But I had sin in my life, and I knew it. I just did. And I knew I needed to confess it. And I was foolish enough to believe that when I confess it, I'll be rejected. Just had that mentality. So I told Manny, let's have a brother's meeting. And the term he used is, brother, you just spill your bucket in front of all the brothers. So I had it in my mind, I'll do that, and then I'll be rejected, but then I'll be free, and then I'll be clean, and then I can go find somewhere to live. Well, they didn't even know about all that. And when I did that, it didn't work that way. All of a sudden, I became one of them. Instantly, the brother beside me just moved over, put his arms around me, and put me on the floor there in the middle. And all the brothers gathered around and put their arms on me and prayed. And I've never been so clean. I mean, I'll say it that way. I'm not comparing that with being washed in the blood, so hear my heart there. But I was healed. This is not a road of perfection over here, this narrow way. It's just a road where we have liberty. And I remember what Brother Manny said. I'll just tell you. He said to the brothers, he said, now it's our job to protect our brother. We're not going to talk about this. When we have forgiven, it's behind us. When it's under the blood, we mention it no more. Thank you, brother. I mean, it's a great lesson that I learned there. I want to go forward that way. But I don't want to just be on this road and make allowance and live with it. there's a lot of hurting people on this road that know good and well they need to get rid of a burden. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin down here. But there's false apostles that literally tell them, no, you don't have to do that. That's normal. Well, we've talked about a lot of things today and our time is up, but I want to remind us of something that Brother David Robertson said yesterday. He said, sometimes we are like water going down a pipeline. Do you remember that illustration? And he said, periodically there's check valves and filters in this pipeline. And God has those there. And when you come to those, the message of God to you is that you can go on, but you need to leave that behind. Remember the that's he referred to? That has to stay behind. That's part of being discipled, is willing to let go. Why are we going to defend our music and insist that we are going to have this music? I had two brothers come to me one time, and one of them said, Dale, don't even think of questioning my music. I know what moves me. I know what's right. And that's my decision. I had another brother come to me with the sincerity of his heart. And he said, Brother Dale, would you listen to all of my music and just tell me what you think? The difference in those two hearts. I mean, they were pretty close at that particular point. They were walking together. But there started to come some changes. And now they are miles apart. Unbelievable. I think I'm just going to close and read verse 13 to the end of chapter 7. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. I just want to say, a wise man looks at some fruit. That's part of discipleship. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, looking at the fruit. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And I just want you young fathers to know about your homes, that it might be at a calm state right now in summertime, but the winds are going to blow. Every wind of doctrine is going to blow, and the rain is going to come down, and they are going to beat upon your house. That's a guarantee. So let's take a look at the foundation. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Are we? Do we receive it? For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. May God give us, may we give God liberty to stand on a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand and put a plumb line in the midst of us. That his will would be done. We love each one of you. God bless you. Thank you for your time.